Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hayward drives one. High and deep to right field. All the way back. It's gone. Jay, hey, what do you say? 4-3 Astros.
Woo. That was a bomb.
Got him. The fourth year in a row and the seventh consecutive full season, the Astros are the AL West champions. It looked early in the season like the train might be off the track, but this Astros locomotive is relentless.
Tears came out of my eyes. You know, I'm like emotional because it's, I care about this team. I love this team, and the fact that we are in a position to you know, compete for another World Series is special.
Todd Kalas, Jeff Blum on the call, Joe Espada amidst a sea of champagne. Ben, hit it. Have you heard the good news? Have you heard the good news? Your Houston Astros, for the seventh time in seven full seasons. Screw you, COVID.
Yeah.
They are champions of the American League West. They said it couldn't be done back when they were 7-19 and 12-24 and 10 games back on June 18th. But here we are, AL West champs with four games to spare as well. Take that, Seattle. The Astros last night, man, that was fun. That was fun to see. Felt great for Joe Espada. We're going to talk about that a ton today. I'm Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. These are the days that are really, really, this job is always fun. These are the days that are really, really fun, man.
These are the days that are fun, and this is, yeah, congratulations to all the players and Joe Espada especially who, you know, Chandler Rome brought up in his article last night that the Astros have a certain air of inevitability around them. We know that Yankees fans know this. They're very upset about the fact that the Astros are inevitable. And it probably helped a lot that the Astros hired from within, because none of the issues early on were Joe Espada's fault. They flat out. No manager in baseball could be responsible for whatever flukish weirdness caused them to start off as badly as they did. But I think in navigating all of that and keeping an even keel, and I think most importantly, probably keeping the players themselves even keeled and the position coaches, all of that, I think being in the organization for 6 years previously makes a big difference. And finding that balance between, confidence and complacency, like there's a certain, okay, an air of inevitability could lead to disaster if people feel like, well, I don't have to do a damn thing. Everything's going to work out. It always does. But just having a certain humility about you to understand that you gotta keep grinding away. I mean, this is the first team since the Boston Braves in the early 20th century has made the playoffs after starting as badly as the Astros did. Now, those shout out to the Boston Braves.
Yeah.
That's a team. That was back when making the playoffs meant you made the World Series.
Right.
So that's pretty incredible. But still, and it wasn't because of the expanded wild card or anything. The Astros won the division. So it's this is an impressive, impressive feat.
It really is. And Espada, similar to me, when the Astros won the World Series 2 years ago, the first person I felt great for was Dusty Baker, because he'd been so close a number of times. Everybody loved Dusty. I felt great for him. Different circumstances, and it's only they won the division. They're just in the playoffs now. They haven't won the World Series yet. They've got a lot of work to do. But man, present company included, myself, at one point I said I was out on Joe Espada based purely on how he was handling questions about Jose Abreu, in addition to the team being very piss poor early in the season. The combination of those things, it felt like he was in over his head. And I just thought it was a really cool scene last night, Seth, after they clinched, after Hader got that final strikeout of Julio Rodriguez to close out the game, that all the players are out there celebrating, and Joe Espada was just kind of standing off to the side, just watching the whole thing, just kind of taking it all in. And I was, he did a couple of interviews after the game. He obviously did his media session, and he was down in the clubhouse showering everybody with champagne, just like everybody else was. So we've got some Joe Espada audio that we'll play, But my guess is whatever he was expressing in all these interviews probably doesn't capture the magnitude of what it was he was feeling in that moment. You know, like just when you go back to April and May, and even the interview he did with Julia on the field, it didn't even seem like he could fully embrace the joy of what they were accomplishing there, because it was so tedious and difficult to get to that point. It's like asking a marathon runner right after they won a marathon, like, how do you feel? Like, I'm really tired, man.
Yeah.
you know?
Honestly, yeah, I just want to breathe a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, Espada, he does read Nicholas Sparks books.
Okay.
He does keep a journal. He's a reflective soul. So, yeah, I would imagine he's taking it all in. That's what the Astros players should do for Espada. If they win it all this year, they should commission an essay by Nicholas Sparks for Joe Espada.
Oh, and get it.
They can afford it.
Get it framed.
Like the
thing Ross Tucker does, my front page story.
My
Nicholas Sparks essay.
At the very least, they should go to ChatGPT and say, write an essay for Joe Espada in the style of Nicholas Sparks.
Yes.
Yes.
And then just get it printed up in calligraphy or some nice font and frame
the
whole
thing. Then just lie and say that you actually
did it. That he did it.
Yeah.
That's great. So seven straight. I prefer to call it seven straight AOS titles. I'm not going to let COVID have this moment. So it's really four straight, but seven in seven full seasons. Man, there were so many thoughts. I was typing away just watching the celebration. I thought it was cool last night that I thought the way they won this game kind of captured a lot about this team. Like, Fromber wasn't great, but he didn't completely derail. Like, we saw, in a weird way, we saw the maturation of Fromber Valdez kind of keep them in the game a little bit. He was far from his best stuff last night.
Right, and he got frustrated with himself. But this is Fromber, what he's been over the last couple of years, ever since he made that transformation. He can work his way through things like that.
Yeah, he wasn't great Fromber, and he wasn't bad Fromber. He was just kind of in between Fromber.
My favorite moment last night involving Fromber was when Jason Hayward made that great play right at the Nitto Tire,
the Nitto Tire billboard. Yeah,
and made a great play at the wall, injured his left throwing hand while he was doing it, and you could see Fromber, when they showed him turning around to watch it, his excitement, then his concern. And then it was cool. It was a very human moment. And then Hayward comes back, stays in the game, and hits a home run in his next at-bat.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too, man. As I'm watching this game unfold in the later portion of the game, you know, Jason Hayward was like, he was a scrap heap pickup. The Dodgers cut him loose. He's had some big moments for the Astros. Credit Dana Brown, you know, for making that pickup. Ultimately, the Josh Hader contract, granted, there's still four more years to go. We'll see how it ages. But ultimately, that contract that got roundly criticized early in the season, ultimately it made sense. And I think it's poignant that not only did Hader come in to close this out, he came in and pitched multiple innings, you know, got four outs, and kind of cleaned up the mess of the guy who he replaced as the closer. You know, like that was a source of a lot of criticism. Not that when the signing was made, it wasn't so much like, boy, Josh Hader, why are you giving that guy $19 million a year? He's no good. That wasn't the argument. The argument was, okay, well, you've already got Presley, who's been really good for you, and what's this going to do to the dynamic in that bullpen and in that clubhouse? Ultimately, you needed Josh Hader. You know, Ryan Presley's struggled down the stretch here, and Brian Abreu's been pretty good all year long, but he's had his rough moments too. So has Hader. But ultimately, the Hader contract made sense. Like, ultimately, like last night in that ninth inning, I felt super confident that Hader was going to – that he was going to shut that thing down.
Well, and Hader and his ability to go multiple innings and his willingness to do so has been really big for a team that you think about, you know, going back to the A.J. Hinch days, the Astros very much felt like, well, look, the idea of a traditional closer is probably overrated. It's a matter of just having guys that can come in at high leverage moments. When you can go two innings with somewhat regularity, then that traditional closer also becomes a guy that's more versatile and more important in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And that was one thing from Chandler's article too. They mentioned how Yordan had to calm Espada down as Hader was warming up. Yordan could kind of tell that Espada was breathing heavy, and Yordan just said, "Hey, it's gonna be okay, man."
Dude, is it weird that I was watching the celebration trying to see if I could see Yordan? I'm like, how's he moving? Is he dapping guys up? Like, is he staying away from the crowd so nobody bumps into his knee? Or is he in there celebrating? I'm like, okay. I saw him a couple times. He looked like he was in there hardcore celebrating.
Not trying to be limited or anything.
It didn't look like he was limited in celebration mode.
He's not on an operating table somewhere. That's the first piece of good news that we know.
That is good news. I almost think, like, if we're going to skip ahead, like, Yordan's, he's got to be, he has to at least give it a go as a DH in the first game of the wild card just to see, or maybe in one of these games down the stretch just to see how it feels. One of these Cleveland games just to see. Unless it's bad.
I don't see how you let the game. Yeah, I don't know. Like, without any clue about what the actual medical condition is, I would hesitate to say, like, you got to be out there for game one of the wild card series.
He can walk. He needs to be out there.
Why?
Because he's good. Yordan on one leg is better than whoever they're going to put in at DH. Good.
But you got to balance out. Like, all right, if you can barely walk, it's not like game seven of the World Series or something. Game three. If game three is a closeout, then he's got to be out there no matter what.
Yes, that's true.
You said game one. I'd say game three.
Well, we negotiated. I agree with you. I won't put him in game one. Fine. Fine. Game three. We've actually got an update on Yordan. We'll get to that in the next segment. Joe Espada, but it's too much to celebrate, man. This is so fun. We're really lucky. Like, this is 8 straight Octobers that we get baseball. It's awesome. It's really, really fun. So we'll dig into that. We'll talk about how should they handle these last 4 games. We'll get to that at 7 o'clock on the show today. And we got a lot of Texans to get to as well. They're back at practice. They got the Jags coming to town this weekend. It's a big week. Titus Howard. Good job, Titus. You did something yesterday. It would appear that I think is a move in the right direction. And can Laremy Tunsil, is there time to save Laremy Tunsil? Seth Payne thinks so. We will get to that coming up next.